which we've been doing for so many years. We're so happy to actually be a part of Progressive Radio Network. And one reason is that the shows are all archived, so you can always join us live. We're here every Tuesday, 10 to 11 a.m. And you can also email us or send us updates, and you can join us at naturalnurse.com. From naturalnurse.com, you can easily get to the Instagram. We have over 20,000 people who visit the Instagram, or Facebook, or I think we're on Twitter also. I don't personally do the Twitter, but I think somebody helps us out with that. But the first thing I'd like to talk about is how you can join us in person. And the fastest way to do that is to go to naturalnurse.com and click on classes and events. That's where we list our up-and-coming classes, although we have many other private classes that you can schedule directly with us. But if you were to go to naturalnurse.com and go to classes right now, you will find that we are running the Natural Nurse Herbal Certification course. And that is one of the least expensive ways to get a certification in herbal medicine. And also, while you're at it, if you're a healthcare professional, you can also get 18 CEUs. If you're an RD or a nurse or a midwife or a massage therapist or an acupuncturist, if you have a license and you need CEs, you can get 18 of them from taking this class. But you don't have to be a professional to take it. You can just go ahead and join us and learn a lot of things about doing herbal medicine for yourself and your family, even if it's not something you're interested in professionally. So we also have coming up in-person workshops where myself and Dr. Eugene Zamperone will take you on a walk in Chinatown, New York, where you really get immersed. You feel like you took an airplane and went to another country. As a matter of fact, people have taken airplanes from all over the country to join us in Chinatown for that herb walk. And then we have in July our medicine making workshop, where we actually go out in the field and gather wild edible and medicinal plants, and then we make them into medicine. So there's all kinds of ways that you can join with us, just one-on-one or join in any of the classes. And then if you go to naturalnurse.com and if you look under products, you can click on our books, which we have extensive books that Dr. Eugene Zamperone and I have authored. And I would say they all have a lot of information, different information. Like one is called Keys to Virility and Vitality. And another one is called Supplements for Pain. And then the book we wrote called Arthritis, the Alternative Medicine Definitive Guide. That book is actually all about the inflammatory process, which is linked to every disease, not only arthritis, and tells you how to get yourself out of that inflammatory cascade in great detail. And then we have a book called Weight Loss, The Definitive Guide to Weight Loss, 10 Healthy Ways to Permanently Shed Unwanted Pounds. And in that one, we're really looking at how to get healthy, and weight loss is kind of what you might call a positive side effect related to just getting healthy. And then our always popular, the natural medicine chest. We've sold thousands of those. And in fact, we're sold out of hard copies, but that is still available right now as a Kindle until we republish it again. So all kinds of intense information is available. And then if you go to media, radio shows, you will find links to literally thousands of radio shows, many of which are now podcasts. And of course, we have tons of videos as well, which is on Zoom and YouTube and all over the place, and a vast array of other information that is all free at naturalnurse.com. You can also sign up for our newsletter by just going to naturalnurse.com, go to the bottom of the page, and it says to link a get free newsletter, and there's no questions asked, only your email, nothing else. And then you will get an email back saying to confirm. If you confirm, then you'll be on our newsletter list as well. And we only send that out, you know, very rarely. I would say once a month. Most people just check on the website under events and find what they'd like to join us for. So we're so happy to speak to you today and bring on board our guest, Mr. Alan Meisner. Alan is a fitness trainer who himself faced life challenges, including excess weight. And then he found the missing element to conquer that. Today, he is a National Academy of Sports Medicine certified personal trainer, a precision nutrition level one coach, and a Functional Aging Institute certified aging specialist. He earned specialties in fitness nutrition, corrective exercise, behavioral change, performance enhancement, and online personal training. So if you hear something you like, you can always join in with Alan from wherever you are. And he is also the author of an award-winning book, The Wellness Roadmap. So thank you so much for joining us today, Alan.
Thank you, Ellen.
I can hear you perfectly fine, which is great. So let's go back in time and, you know, look at your path. When you were a young guy or even a child, were you interested in any kind of fitness then?
Well, I was an athlete. I thought of myself as an athlete. Yeah, I thought, okay, I'm going to be a professional athlete. This is what I'm going to do. And so, yes, I played all the sports. I was even in the infantry raising money for college. So I was constantly physical, pretty much right up until I started my professional career. And then that's when things started to change as I got involved in, you know, building the C-suite job, you know, climbing up that ladder. So my time, my effort, my energy all went towards that. And I just really stopped paying attention to the rest of my life, my fitness, my nutrition, my sleep, my stress management, and my relationships. And after just even 10 years, that was enough that I was a complete wreck.
So that's unfortunate. So you were watching yourself going down this path, but you weren't paying attention.
You know, yeah, you don't. It's a slow thing. We didn't get here in a week or a month or even a year. It's just the slow accumulation of the poor health choices we make, the poor lifestyle choices we make. And then, like most of us, we find ourselves either in a doctor's office or somewhere else where we just know we've damaged ourselves. And when you're in your 40s, it's very hard to know exactly what to do to turn that around.
Well, that's true. So where did you start? I mean, you must have come to a revelation that, no, you want to get back to, let's say, the physical fitness level you were, or move towards that.
It was two stages. And unfortunately, they were 8 years apart. So I made the decision. I was on a vacation. I forced myself to go on a vacation. And I bought a timeshare. The first day I got there, I just bought the timeshare. And I said, okay, I'm going to force myself to take this vacation. And I was super excited that they had sand volleyball as one of the activities at this resort. So the next day I get up in the morning, I'm excited. I go out there to play volleyball, and I barely made it through one game. And I seriously thought I was going to need to go to the hospital. I subbed out of the game. I went and sat down for a while, cooled down, and just realized that I had completely lost who I was. I was not the Alan Meisner I knew growing up. I had become... I'm going to use the words I used because, you know, the inner dialogue we often have with ourselves, but it was not kind. So I kind of made a decision that day that I was going to start doing things better. I was going to live better. But the decision really wasn't enough. I started this roller coaster of losing and gaining the same weight over and over. And so about 8 years later, I found myself pretty much in the same condition I had been when I was on that beach, unable to breathe. And I told myself, you know, what is the difference between now and then? Why is it that I've been able to accomplish hard things? And I was in the infantry. I did well on the CPA exam when I took it. I worked my way through college. I know I could do hard things. What makes this different? What makes getting healthy and fit different from the other things that I'd done in my life? And that's when it hit me. I had not really committed to changing my life. I wanted it up to that point, but I had not committed the way I committed for the other hard things I had done. So you think about a relationship, you make a commitment. Once you make that commitment, you change your lifestyle. You're no longer going out with your friends for drinks. You're not out looking for other people. You change your behavior.
Well, wait, let me just jump in there for a minute. Because even when someone does make a commitment to a path, I do not think you have to 100% give up going out with your friends. You could say, I will do that on Sunday or something like that. It just can't be every day.
Yes, true. But you do change your overall behavior. If your behavior was to go out and party every night, you don't do that once you get married. Typically, you don't. I mean, I'm just going to say that. Some people do, and some people have problems with relationships. But once you make a commitment, you make a change. You make a change internal. It's emotional. It's personal. Now there's a lot more behind it than just wanting to lose weight. There's a lot more behind it than deciding you're going to exercise more. There's something that makes it stick. And a lot of that is that deep personal why. So I'll tell you my why. My why was that I was looking at my 20-year-old daughter who had just become a level one CrossFit coach. And she was doing the things that I would have been doing at her age. She was out doing mud runs, and she was out doing CrossFit and on all these things. And one day she had, just before I kind of had this moment, she had called, we were talking, and she said, "Hey, Daddy, I want you to come out and watch me do this CrossFit competition." And it kind of hit me that my daughter was asking me to be a spectator and not a participant. And I really never wanted to be a spectator in my daughter's life. I wanted to be a participant. And so it was really this personal thing of I'm losing connection with who I was, but I'm also losing connection with who my daughter's becoming. And that was a really hard one. So for me, the commitment was based on that, my relationship with my daughter, and knowing that if I wanted to participate in her life, I had to take care of myself. I had to be healthier. I had to be more fit. And so that was the initial kind of instigation for the true change that I went through. And so we did a short little run. I started this in about December, and we did a short little run in March called a warrior dash. It's about a 5K with some obstacles. And I went out with her and I completed that. I was like, okay, that's not enough. And she was able to run off and leave me. And so I was like, okay, I've got to do something better. I've got to do better. So I asked her if she wanted to sign up for a Tough Mudder, which was 13 miles with about 25 difficult obstacles. And she agreed. And so I had like 8 months to train for this. And that's what I did. I started working on improving my health. I started working on improving my fitness. And I started working on improving myself. And I think that was really the most important part of this, because if you don't change your mind and your mindset, the body won't really follow you.
Right. That's so true. And that's a difficult thing, to step back and actually change those motivational flows.
It is. The way I like to look at motivation is that there are basically four types of motivation. And two of them are extrinsic, which means they're outside of yourself. And two of them are intrinsic, which means they're inside yourself.
Well, tell us about all four.
Okay. So the first one, and this is the easiest one, it's extrinsic, and it's where you have a leader coach. And so like if your boss tells you, "I need this report by Friday," then guess what? You stay late and you get it done because your boss asked you to do that. That's extrinsic motivation. If your coach tells you to do one more rep or wants you to do this extra work on the weekend and you do it, that's extrinsic motivation coming from that coach. And that's a good way to start. It's an easy way to start because you just hire a coach and it happens. Another good extrinsic motivation is what we call social extrinsic motivation. And that's where you go out and you find a group. So maybe you like doing the Zumba class, or maybe you like going out with a run club, or you start playing tennis recreational on a regular basis. So basically showing up with those folks and having a good time and being social with them, and then knowing if I don't show up, they're going to know I'm not there. That peer pressure is now an extrinsic motivation that can keep you showing up. And that's good. And maybe even working harder, because you see them working hard, you want to work hard too. So those are the two extrinsic motivations, and they're relatively easy to get to. The intrinsic ones are a little bit more difficult, but they're also the ones that matter the most, because they're the most powerful ones. Now, the first one is also in the framework of leadership, and that's you being a leader and boss of yourself. And there's some people who are really good at this, and there are other people who are not. But if you're someone who is driven to task and you set a big goal for yourself, then you tell yourself, I'm going to wake up at 5 o'clock in the morning. I'm going to do this workout because it's important to me. As the boss, I want this done. I am my boss. I am the CEO of my own life, my own health, and I'm going to get this
That's done. A really interesting reflection that people can take about that you, whoever that innermost you is in charge.
Yeah, absolutely. You make every decision for yourself. Whether you decide to not do something or do something, you've still made that decision. So when you can turn on that internal leader, that's very powerful. And then the next one, which is kind of where it makes motivation kind of turn on its head the most, is when you get this social feeling about what you're doing. And as a result, you're motivated. So for some people, that can be watching the scale start to go down. What I'm doing is working. I'm going to keep doing it. You could be saying, you know, I wake up in the morning and I feel better. I look better. I have more energy. I feel more confident and secure in my clothes. I'm able to do things that I wasn't able to do even a month ago. So when you start seeing change in yourself, which takes a little bit longer and is never a straight line, but when you start seeing that change, that can be the most powerful intrinsic motivator for you to use. So I encourage people, if you're going to start a health and fitness, you might call it a kick or a diet or whatever you want to call it, but set multiple milestones for things that you want. So it's not just, I want to see the scale go down. It's like, there's a pair of pants or a dress I really like and I haven't been able to wear comfortably for a while. I want to get into that dress. And when I do, I know I'm moving in the right direction. You might also say, okay, my A1C numbers are a little high, so I want to make sure the nutrition choices I'm making are going to help lower that number. So the next time I get tested, that's going down. Maybe your blood pressure is a little high and you want to start managing that a little better without medication. And so you set multiple kind of micro goals. And so you might not see the scale go down, but you're fitting into your clothes better. You might not be getting your A1C down as much, but your blood pressure is in much better shape. So you can kind of be hitting some of these some of the time, and maybe not all of them all of the time, but that can be hugely motivating when you see, okay, when I act and do a certain way, I get a certain result. And that can keep you motivated to keep doing it. So, you know, for a perfect model, you could have all four. You hire a coach, you do some group clasp stuff that's fun. You join something that's fun. You have this mindset inside yourself that you are the boss of you and you make your own decisions, which can include decisions to take a day off, as you mentioned.
Right.
Go out and have drinks with your friends.
Yeah, that's the same thing too. When you're changing your diet. If you say, I can never eat this food that you love and are somewhat addicted to again, that's a lot more stressful than saying, I can have it every Sunday.
Yeah,
but not just the rest of the week.
Or just using the different words. And this is something I've really enjoyed over the last 5 years or so. I've been paying a lot more attention to words. And the word is not can't. The word is choose.
That's great.
Okay, I choose not to. Okay, so maybe you were going out and having beers with your friends 3 or 4 times a week, but that's not helping you with your health goals, with your weight loss goals. So you say, okay, well, I'm going to choose to not go on Tuesdays and Thursdays. I might still go on Fridays and Saturdays, but that's my choice.
That's a really great way to, you know, reflect it in a positive light. So I know you've had such extensive training, and where I hear about that, it's interesting that you have your daughter and, you know, I have 2 kids and my son is really one of my people I look up to. And he's someone like yourself who's an NASM certified personal trainer, and then he did a Czech practitioner program and a Strazi Institute and Newfield and something called FRC certification, functional range release. You probably know a lot more about that than I do, but he's always learning new techniques, as you are.
Yeah. Well, one thing, you know, that when I, the reason I started the podcast initially was to kind of get some words out, you know, to say, okay, here's what I know. Here's how I fixed myself. But the blessing of this was I loved reading health and fitness books. So I was reading them voraciously, like one a week. And then I thought, you know what, if I ask one of these guys that I'm reading their book, I'd like to have them on the podcast. And it's, you know, when you just think of it as I could actually buy a book, read it, and then just ask to have a conversation with the author. It sounds kind of crazy, but that's how podcasts work.
Absolutely. We've been doing that here for since 1987, long before the word podcast was available. It was all radio shows.
Exactly. And so what I do now is I reach out to different authors that have interesting books that I want to learn about. And I ask them for a copy of their book. They send me a copy. I read the book and then I interview them for the podcast. And so over the course of the last 7 years, I've read about probably 400 books. And those 400 books, I've had most of those folks on my podcast. Sometimes I just buy a book because I want to read it and I don't get the guest on, but, you know, I get to have really good conversations with those folks on my podcast after I've read their book. And so it's kind of fascinating. I can dive into things. I can help pull out little nuggets of value from the book that, you know, my listener can gather into and say, hey, you know, this is important and this can help me. But it helps me too. It helps me grow my knowledge. So beyond going after all of the certifications and all the specialties and all the courses, because I still have to do the 40 hours a week kind of thing to keep my license or keep my certs. But I just enjoy learning and I enjoy sharing. And so I love having those conversations and just diving into sometimes some very deep, deep waters, and then sharing that in a very accessible way.
Well, thank you so much, Alan. We're going to take a little break here on The Natural Nurse and Dr. Z, and then we will rejoin our guest today, Alan Meisner, who is a fitness trainer and also the author of The Wellness Roadmap, as well as having a podcast as well. Is it called 40 Fitness, 40 Plus Fitness?
Yeah, it's 40 Plus Fitness Podcast, and you can find it everywhere podcasts are available.
As you can ours as well. And I'm so happy you're with us today, Alan, and we will come back to continue our discussion about how people can get on their fitness train through your suggestions. We will be right back with more right here on The Natural Nurse and Dr. Z.
Greetings. Join us on Sunday, June 11th, 2023, and again on Sunday, September 24th, 2023, for a Chinese herb walk and cultural experience in New York City's Chinatown. Do Qigong in Chinatown's Columbus Park. Experience Chinese tongue and pulse diagnosis. Visit museums and herbal apothecaries. Learn about Chinese medicine and its theories. Spend a magical day in another country, in New York City. Your instructors are experienced healthcare practitioners and herbalists who have been leading this tour since 1992, over 30 years. For more information, call 203-263-2970. That number again, 203-263-2970. Or send us an email at drznaturally@gmail.com. That's drznaturally@gmail.com. Shay Shay.
On this edition of the Natural Medicine Chest, we'll discuss the nutrient known as taurine.
Amino acids are chemical constituents that form the building blocks of protein in the body. The official definition of an amino acid is a compound which contains an amino group and a carboxylic acid. Taurine contains a sulfonic group instead, so is not a true amino acid, although it is often referred to as one. The intracellular concentration of taurine is 10 times that of any normal free amino acid.
Taurine was discovered in 1827, but the significance of taurine in nutrition was not realized until 1975, when the journal Science published a study showing that taurine-deficient cats suffered from retinal degeneration. In 1986, the Annual Review of Biochemistry reported that the amount of taurine present in mammalian milk depends on the species. Natural human mother's milk is rich in taurine, but cow's milk, except for the early milk known as colostrum, is taurine deficient. Pediatrics Journal in 1983 printed a study which outlined several of the biologically significant functions of taurine, and an effort was then made to fortify infant formula by adding taurine.
Some species of animals, such as cats, cannot synthesize taurine within their bodies, and so must receive it through their diet. Humans have a very limited ability to synthesize taurine, so adequate intake through diet and supplementation is important. The principal source of dietary taurine is meat of various types and shellfish. Even people ingesting sufficiently high levels of taurine may develop a deficiency due to the overgrowth of certain anaerobic intestinal microorganisms which consume taurine. Certain prescription drugs are known inhibitors of taurine uptake.
The Journal of Neurochemistry published a study in 1975 which showed that taurine concentrations are extremely high in the retina. In fact, the retina contains two binding proteins specific for taurine. Research has yet to determine exactly how taurine functions in the eye, but deficiency of taurine has been found to lead to the degeneration of photoreceptor cells. Continued studies on taurine have linked its presence to several biological functions, besides being a protector of the delicate tissues of the eye. Taurine helps to neutralize oxidizing agents caused by ionizing radiation. Taurine is present in high concentrations in the normal heart. It stimulates white blood cell motility and protects cell membranes from free radical damage. Taurine has proven useful in epileptics to reduce or control seizures. It helps modulate the transport of substances such as sodium, potassium, magnesium, copper, and iron across cell membranes. Additional research supports taurine's role in preventing gallstones.
So, as you can see, the nutrient taurine may be an important addition to your natural medicine chest.
And welcome back. Thank you so much for joining us today right here on Progressive Radio Network. You can find us at prn.live, which does simulcast all the shows as well as then posting it on every podcast venue. And today we're here with Alan Meisner, a fitness trainer. You can find out more about him at 40 Plus Fitness. So that's 40, write the number, then PLUSfitness.com. Nice website that talks a lot about the things that he's sharing with us today. So thank you so much for joining us today, Alan.
Thank you, Ellen.
Now, you talked about, everybody knows that exercising more is good, but that's very vague. You have very specific things, such as the five fitness mindsets. What are the five fitness mindsets?
Okay, well, before I dive into the mindsets, I want to talk about fitness a little
Absolutely.
Bit, because I think it gets a bad rap. A lot of people think of fitness as being like a superhero, like a CrossFit athlete, like someone who's able to run these long distances or do these crazy things. And I don't think that's the way we should approach fitness. I mean, when I think about fitness, I think about it in terms of fit for task. So what I want to be is I want to be the best father, husband, employee, owner, grandfather I can possibly be. And to do that, then I have certain things that I need to be able to do. So, you know, my grandchildren at some point are probably going to want to go to the zoo, and I have to be capable of running around with them and enjoying that day and not sitting on a bench and watching them do it. I may want a pickle, and if I can't open up a jar of pickles, then I'm not independent anymore. I need someone to help me open a jar of pickles. I want to be able to take care of myself. I want to be able to take care of the people around me. And that's important. That's part of my values. And so fit for task is for me to be capable of doing those things. So when I said I wanted to do the Tough Mudder with my daughter, the task was the Tough Mudder. Okay, now that's kind of extreme. But if your task is just, I want to be able to go for a hike, or I want to get back to playing tennis the way I did when I was younger, or I'm retiring and I want to be able to enjoy my retirement, or I just want to be able to sit on the floor and watch the cartoons with my grandchildren, all of those are just fitness tasks. And so fitness should be built around where you want to be and what you want to be able to do. So it doesn't mean you're running around trying to do marathon sessions of running or biking or hiking, or you're doing all these crazy classes or these crazy lifts, all this stuff. It just means doing the work that's necessary to maintain and be who you want to be. So when I talk about fitness, I'm just talking about being a better person, a better human, doing the things that are necessary to maintain your body and be ready to do the things that are important to you. Now, the mindsets really come down to the way a lot of people approach health and fitness. And so what I've found coaching thousands of people and talking to many, many more is that there are basically five mindsets, and those five mindsets drive the way you behave when you're trying to make a change in health and fitness. Now, probably the most common one that I run into is called an atlas. And so an atlas needs direction. So for the young folks out there, an atlas was this little book that had maps in it. We would buy them at the service station. Now you do all that on your phone, but we used to buy atlases. And so an atlas is someone who needs a map. And that map is, okay, I want to do this thing. So maybe your friends are going to go on this hike next summer, and you want to make sure you're ready to do it. I have one client, he wanted to go on a 100-mile bike ride. And so he was training to be ready to do a 100-mile bike ride with his friends. And he didn't want to slow down. He didn't want to have to stop. He didn't want to have to quit and not finish. He wanted to finish with his friends, which happily he did. So he's training, he has a direction, he has an end goal, and that end goal drives him to do the things he needs to do. So his internal boss, that internal motivation, is there to say, hey, do the work, you know, we've got a reason to do this. And now he's finished the race. Now he has that intrinsic motivation that's more social. He's doing it with his friends. So again, that's social from an extrinsic perspective. Now you've done it, he has that intrinsic, and he had me as a coach. So that's someone who had all four. And atlases do great with that. Okay, tires is someone who needs traction. And anytime they lose traction, they just really, really struggle. So the way to think about that is, have there been times you started doing something, maybe you said, okay, I'm gonna start eating better, and you start doing things, but then you kind of have a bad Saturday, and that turns into a bad Sunday, which turns into an all restart on Monday, which may or may not happen because you've lost that traction. You're in the ditch. And that happens a lot for a lot of people. So a tires is someone who just has to pay attention to keeping traction. And if they start to feel the slip, they just need to get back into it. They need to know that getting the traction is the goal. In this case, doing it, restarting is what's really important for a tires to see progress, because they just need to stay in the game as much as they can. Keep that traction and try not to lose it. If they do lose it, get it, just go back, get it, regain it, get it.
Yeah, so when you say that word just, though, when you say that word just.
but when you know that about yourself, then, you know, that self-awareness of that mindset at least gives you the tools to know, I'm in the ditch. I've lost
traction. Let's talk about somebody else, because you gave an example of somebody who wants to work on themselves because their motivation is they're going on a bike trip of 100 miles. Now, a lot of people, I'm sure, that's shut down. How about somebody who finds it challenging to, like, walk from the couch to the TV? Oh, yeah, okay. You don't have to do that anymore to change channels. I'm thinking way back.
No, right.
But how about that person?
Yeah, so I had a client, and she told me when we first started, she said, you know, I walk out from my house to my carport to get in my car, and she said, I'm winded.
Exactly. That person.
Okay. And I said, okay. I said, well, here's what I'd like you to do tomorrow. When you get to your car, catch your breath and walk catch your breath a little bit, and then walk one lap around your car. And then you can get in the car. And I said, I want you to do that every day. So every time she walked out to her car, she did a lap around her car. And then after a few days, I asked her how that was going. She said, you know, I'm feeling better about it. I'm not winded when I get to my car. I might be winded after I do that first lap, but I'm not winded when I get to my car. I'm like, okay, now I'll do two laps. And so within about 3 weeks, now she's walking the neighborhood in the afternoons for a half an hour at a go. And so it's really just a function of saying, okay, her goal, now she was not necessarily a tires person. She had some other mindset stuff going on, but it's just kind of one of those things where once she started getting that benefit of the work she was doing, it motivated her to want to keep doing it. And then as the coach,
so once you get a small goal, so you need to keep the goal small enough for the person.
Right. And so, you know, what she was she's what I call a windshield, though, because there was a point in her life where she was really super fit. She had been a Marine, which I guess Marines are always Marines. Okay, I get that. But, you know, she had been in the Marines, active, doing stuff, and they made her work out every day.
Of course.
She worked out. She got out of the Marines, and she stopped working out. But she still thought of herself from the fitness perspective of who she was, and she couldn't focus in front of her. And so a windshield person needs to know that they got to stop looking in the rearview mirror of who they were and start looking at who they're going to be. So the actions they do today won't help them be who they were, but can help them be the person they want to be in the future, which might not be as good as what it was, but it's going to be better than what it is. And so a windshield person just has to keep their view on the future and know that there's a better future if they keep doing the right things. And that's they benefit a lot from coaching as well. Okay, then there's the pedals person. Now, pedals person has their foot on the gas and the brake at the same time. So they see a new cool thing, show on TV, and it says, okay, you can get the ab buster, you know, get flat abs in just 10 minutes a day. And, you know, you don't have to diet. You don't have to exercise. Just do this little ab buster. And they go buy the ab buster. And then they start doing the ab buster, and then they get tired of it, and it ends up sitting in there. They buy a treadmill, and they just hang clothes on it. They start a diet, and then within 3 weeks or even sometimes 3 days, they're off the diet. They just keep trying different things. So it's a grass brake. And they end up with their foot on the brake probably sometimes more than they have on the gas. So they don't see any progress, and therefore, they never really get anything done. And so that's a pedals person, or someone who just doesn't focus and do something long enough to see any benefits from it. And they quit and they go on to something else. And so when you're going to try something in the health and fitness, you are not going to see results in a day. You're not going to see results maybe even a whole week. You've got to have a plan, and you've got to stick to it for enough time. You've got to have consistency so your body can respond to the messaging that the workouts and the better food and the better sleep and the better stress management, that's communication to the body. I need you to get better. But that takes time for the body to respond to that. So you have to have the patience, the perseverance, to get the consistency, to get the result. And so gas and pedals people need to keep their foot on the gas long enough to get where they want to go and keep their foot off of the brake. Okay. And then the final one is the co-pilot. Now, co-pilot has a lot going on in their life. They have kids, they have family, they have this or that. In some cases, you know, in my age group of being kind of right in the middle of X-Gen and Boomer, we've got aging parents that we're starting to have to take care of while sometimes still have kids in the house. And so there's just so many pulls on us in all directions for us to be the parent of the parent, and back and forth. And it really is hard for us to take the time to do the right things for ourselves. And so those are the folks like, you know, I didn't want to cook two meals for the family, so I ended up eating macaroni and cheese for dinner every night this week. And then we ordered pizza. And you see, it's the person that doesn't stop and think, am I treating my body in a way that I need to be who I need to be to take care of these people? And so, and they're also less likely to ask for help. So they feel like they have to take this all on themselves. They've been the provider of the food, or like in my case, I was the provider of the money. And so taking the time to exercise felt like I was taking money out of the lives of my family. And so you have to, if you find yourself with these draws where you feel like you're obligated to take care of other people, and I won't use the cliche, you know, you get on an airplane, you got to put your mask on first. This is more important than that. What this is about is if you don't take care of yourself, eventually you won't be able to take care of them. And they're going to have to take care of you. Now, how bad is that? You know, I don't ever want my kids to have to take care of me. I want to be healthy and fit. I want to be capable of taking care of myself. I want to be independent. I joke and I say, I want to be able to wipe my own butt when I'm 105. And there's a lot in that little sentence. If you break it down, that one, I want to be healthy enough to live to 105 and enjoy it. And two, I want to have all of the life skills and strength and fitness fit for task to be able to independently take care of myself. And too many people lose that as they get older because they haven't invested in themselves to get to that place.
Well, that definitely makes a lot of sense. And thank you for sharing all that wisdom. We're going to take a short break right here on The Natural Nurse and Dr. Z, and so that you can hear more about some of the excellent programming that is available right here on Progressive Radio Network, which you can find at prn.live. And we'll be right back with more with our guest, Alan Meisner, and he is the author of The Wellness Roadmap, A Straightforward Guide to Health and Fitness After 40. We'll be right back with more. And we're back right here on Progressive Radio Network. This is Ellen Kamai, the Natural Nurse. Find us at naturalnurse.com, where you can contact myself and my illustrious co-host, Dr. Eugene Zamperone. Just amazing how many years we have been bringing information about natural lifestyles to the public. And we've written many, many books about that. And our company, which is Natural Alternatives Health Education and Multimedia Incorporated, is 42 years old, believe it or not. So we've been doing this a very long time, and we continue to bring you the top information and guests, such as our guest today, Mr. Alan Meisner, and you can find him at 40plusfitness.com. What made you choose the age 40? To me, that sounds like very young, like a baby.
Yeah, I was a baby because I'm not 40 anymore. I was 39 when I made that decision. Remember, I made a decision, and then I spent 8 years. That was the bulk of my 40s trying to figure this all out. And then I got into the later 40s, and that's when I was able to make the commitment and make the change. And so, of course, most of my friends, they were around my age, were asking the questions. How did you do this? How did you lose 66 pounds in 11 months? I want what you got. And so it was just that idea of, I was looking around when I was trying to do this, and there were no resources, not real resources on the internet that talked about how different it can be to change your health and fitness when you're over 40. And that just amazed me. Everything was looking at it like, okay, yes, if you're 20 years old and you go out and you move a lot of weight and you run a lot and you do all these other things, you'll lose weight and you'll feel great. So here's a workout that I'm going to give to a 20-year-old. And when a 40-year-old tries to do it, they break. And I can give you an example of that. I was traveling a lot for work, and I'm like, okay, I've got to fix myself. So I saw this infomercial on a Sunday, and it was Beachbody, and it was for the Insanity workout. And so I was watching these people on this, doing this thing. I'm like, they don't have any equipment. They're just doing body weight stuff. And I'm like, that's perfect. I can do that in my hotel room if I have to. I can take that anywhere. So I bought the set. I got the DVDs in. I ripped every one of them, like this old days, right? I ripped every one of those to my iPad, and I had all of them on there. And I'm like, great. Now I'll do this benchmark workout. So this wasn't even a workout. This was just a test to see what your fitness level was. And so I did the workout, and after you get done, they kind of gave you a score and said, now you'll know how you did. And so when you come back after the 90 days, you'll know how much better you are. The next day when I woke up, I couldn't get out of bed. I was hurting so bad. It literally hurt to pick up my phone and call in sick for work. And so here I am, having done this, just the benchmark test, and I couldn't make it to work the next day. I was hurting so bad. And so that's one of the kind of wake up calls of, I'm not 20 anymore. And so I had that happen. I had some other health scare things happen, while I was trying to do all this, and that just frustrated me that there was no information out there that thought about this from the perspective of someone over 40. And you're right. Over 50 is slightly different than over 40. Over 60 is slightly different than over 50 and 40, and on and on. You do have to take into account who you are today and then decide what's appropriate for you to be making the right steps in the right direction. But here's the cool thing. It doesn't matter how old you are. If you have another breath left in you, you can do something to improve your life. And you just
a lot of it is models also, because I know for my parents who were well into their 90s, my dad passed away 2 years ago, but he was incredibly fit. Incredibly fit. He drove, he played tennis, he played running around every single day. Then he just dropped. What a great way to go. Never old, never even lost his eyesight or his hearing or his, you know, physical fitness level. But he did pass away. I mean, it doesn't mean you're going to live forever. But his goal that he always talked about is like what you mentioned, Alan. He said, I don't want like a woman watching me all day and changing my diapers and wheeling me around in a wheelchair. That was really important to him. So he changed his workouts. Like he moved from heavier weights to bands later in life, you know, those stretchy bands.
So that's what he did. You know, I'll tell a story. My grandfather, he loved golf. He bought a house on a golf course. He played golf.
Mine too.
Every moment he could. Yeah. Okay. Now at 80, I was there visiting. He was 80 years old. I was visiting and we were riding around in a golf cart. And, you know, I knew my uncle was going to go play golf. And I said, are you going to go play golf with them today? And he said, oh, no, I don't play anymore. And I'm like, well, what's going on? He says, well, it's just this balance problem. He said, I just don't feel confident and comfortable. I'm like, okay. I said, well, just do you want to just go to the driving range and just drive a few balls, hit a couple balls? He's like, no, I just don't have the balance for it. So he lost something he loved, like intensely loved, at 80. And last time I saw him was when he was about 91. He did come out to visit. I mean, I went to his house, whatever place he was staying, because he was in assisted care. I went to visit him there, and we stayed for about a half an hour. And it was just in his little apartment. He never left the apartment because he just didn't feel comfortable. He could walk out and get back. And then the next year I came by, I was going to go see if I could visit him. He wouldn't let me come visit. And the reason that he wouldn't have me come visit was because he couldn't take care of himself, meaning that if he did have to go to the bathroom, he wouldn't necessarily make it in there and somebody had to come clean him up. And so he didn't want to be around people and have something like that happen. And so I didn't see him for the last 4 years of his life. And I only tell you that story to say that you have two paths to choose from: the path your father took or the path my grandfather took. But we are making that choice each and every day with the food we choose to eat, with the movement we choose to do, with how we're managing our health and our fitness and our stress and our sleep. The decisions that we make are either moving us in the right direction or they're sending us down the aging curve faster than we have to.
That's true. And of course, genetics are involved as well.
Somewhat, yes, but we have more control over our genetics than we ever thought we did. Epigenetics is a new science, sort of new. I guess it's been around for a long time, but they're learning
might be new to other people. So yeah, right. Share us.
You know, because we were taught. Okay, well, we were taught, and again, I'm not a geneticist and I'm not a scientist, but this is the way I kind of look at it. You know, we were initially taught, okay, you have blue eyes because of your genes. Your genes say you have blue eyes. You live a certain number of years because your genes say you're going to live a certain number of years. But what we've kind of found was that some genes, yes, you can't change your eye color, but other genes are functioning more like switches. And so you can turn a switch on, you can turn it off. And so like you may have a higher probability of getting a certain cancer or getting Alzheimer's, but if you do the right things for your body, you can turn that switch off. And in fact, some of these switches are not just on off, some of them are dimmer switches, meaning the better you do for yourself overall, the dimmer those switches are, the less likely you are to suffer from that issue. And so we do have a tremendous amount of control based on lifestyle. And I, you know, they can throw out statistics and whatnot. I've heard like 20% of your aging and when you die is genetic. How long you're going to live is genetic. But that means 80% of it is based on the choices that you make.
That's a great example. I'll throw out one really simple one in terms of epigenetics. And you talked about it, like some people are born with certain genes that might exacerbate the development of cancer. But cabbage and other vegetables in that family actually have, like you're talking about, something that shuts that oncogene switch off.
Yeah. It's that simple. Now, we don't have those full roadmaps yet because it's, like I said, it's a relatively new science when you break it down. They only broke the genome a decade or so ago, but they thought they would have the whole holy grail when they did that. And then they found out, oh, no, it's like now there's all these switches and different ways this can lay out. And yes, you're going to have tendencies towards certain cancers or towards Alzheimer's or towards certain things, but the variability of whether you get that or not is really almost always based on your lifestyle and how you choose to live.
So as we move, you know, towards the end of our show here, Alan, we have a few minutes left. Where should someone start, with diet or exercise, or do they have to go in, you know, full Monty to the whole thing?
Well, the way I like to think about it is just take a first step. And the first step is make it the easiest one you can make. So if you enjoy going for a walk every day, just go for a walk. That's a simple thing. You just added something that was positive. Or if, you know, it's going to be easier for you from the perspective of food to make some changes, you might say, okay, I'm going to cut back on my processed food. And you can make that look any way you want to, but you can just sit there and say, okay, I'm going to make sure I'm getting two additional servings of vegetables every day, meaning I'm going to add some vegetables to my breakfast. I'm going to add some vegetables to my dinner. And as a result, I'm going to have two additional servings of vegetables that I wouldn't have had. That it can be that simple as a start. So it's just really, what is the easiest next step? I like to think of it from the terms of there's going to be big rocks, little rocks, and sand. And you're going to get the biggest bang for your buck by starting with the big rocks. So what is the one thing that will move the needle the most for you today? And then set the intention to make that happen, and you'll be better tomorrow.
Well, those are great, great tips. And I want to thank you so much for being our guest today right here on The Natural Nurse and Dr. Z. And you have the 40 Plus Fitness podcast. How do people find you?
Well, you can go to 40plusfitness.com.
So wait a minute. That's a number 40 and a plus sign?
Yes. No, not a plus sign. You can't use a plus sign in a website. So it's 40plusfitness.com.
Perfect.
And that you'll find me there. There's a link to the podcast. And then through that, in the book's available on Amazon or anywhere you want to buy books, you can order it. And it's an ebook, it's audiobook, and also hardbound and paperback. You can go to my website again, find the podcast. I'm everywhere there's podcasts. Or you can just type Alan Meisner in a search engine. I must be the only one of them on the whole earth because I'm the only guy who's going to come up.
That's funny.
I deep dived before. I found a guy, but he died a few decades ago. But I think I'm the only Allan Meisner out there. So I'm pretty easy to find.
Well, thank you so much for a very encouraging show. And I hope whoever you are out there listening, and if you want to be healthier, take a first step on the wellness roadmap. And thank you so much, Alan.
Thank you, Ellen. This has been wonderful.
And thank you, listeners, for joining us once again for another edition of The Natural Nurse and Dr. Z. We love to hear from you. You can email or go to Facebook or Instagram or any of those places and send us a message. Just go to naturalnurse.com. That's the easiest way to find all those other places to go. And until next time, this is Ellen Kamai, The Natural Nurse, hoping that you stay healthy.